Hello and welcome to the Dietitian Cafe, brought to you by Nualtra, the innovative medical nutrition company dedicated to improving patients' lives through specialised and affordable supplements. My name is Corinne Toyne and I'm a registered dietitian and marketing specialist at HRS Communications. We invite you to drop into the Dietitian Cafe as we discuss the latest nutrition trends, topics and research. Every month, two episodes are released. One is an interview with a featured guest and the other a debate highlighting a hot topic in the world of nutrition and dietetics. However, before I start, can I ask you a huge favour? If you enjoy the Dietitian Cafe podcast, we'd be super grateful if you could press that follow button. More subscribers means more exciting guests and more interesting conversations for you, our listeners. Thank you. So grab a cuppa and join me for another inspiring interview episode. Today, I'm looking forward to discussing and learning more about a fascinating area, neonatal dietetics. Joining me to shed some light on this area are two brilliant registered dietitians, Kate Arnold and Mo Mustafa. Kate comes at the topic from a clinical angle as clinical lead neonatal dietitian at King's College Hospital in London, and Mo more from a policy angle in her role as lead neonatal network dietitian at the London Neonatal Operational Delivery Network. We'll ask about the day-to-day of a neonatal dietitian before discussing whether more neonatal dietitians are needed and also touching on the use of AI in this area. So, without further ado, it is my pleasure to welcome Mo and Kate. I'll hand over to them to introduce themselves a little further. Mo, let's start with you.
Hi, my name's Mo. I'm a neonatal dietitian. I've been working in neonates and paediatrics for a little over 15 years. I've worked in the NHS and also abroad. But I currently work for the London Neonatal Network as a lead dietitian. I'm really passionate about neonatal nutrition, and one of my big aims is to try and standardise nutritional care across our network. I'm also very heavily involved in activities with the BDA's Neonatal Interest Group, the Dietitians Interest Group, and I'm also on a couple of committees for the British Association for Perinatal Medicine and also for ESPGAN.
Wonderful. And over to you, Kate.
Thanks, Corinne. Thanks for inviting us along. I'm Kate. I've worked as a dietitian for 25 years and have specialised in neonates for the last 20, managing nutritional care for preterm and sick term infants. Like you mentioned, I'm currently lead neonatal dietitian at King's College Hospital, managing a dietetic team covering 50 cots across two sites, a larger surgical tertiary neonatal intensive care unit at Denmark Hill in southeast London, and also a smaller local neonatal unit at the Princess Royal Hospital in Orpington in Kent. King's is also one of the largest liver and intestinal rehabilitation centres in the UK, and so I've gained extensive experience in the management of surgical neonates, including those requiring long-term parenteral nutrition and intestinal rehabilitation. I'm also involved in research and teaching within neonatal nutrition and have presented at local, national and international level.
Thank you both very much. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today. As usual, we'll get started with a few quick fire questions to get to know you a little better. Mo, what does your dream Saturday involve?
I'd say probably just spending time with my friends and family. Yeah. And if food is involved, then even better. But yeah, spending time with family and friends.
Great. Bit of quality time at the weekend. Nothing better. How about you, Kate?
Well, to be honest with you, I'd probably rather be on a beach somewhere really nice and hot. But failing that, I now live a little bit closer to the countryside. So a long walk somewhere in the countryside with my partner, ending up at a cafe or a pub, maybe, depending on the time of day.
Lovely. And Mo, what's your current favourite read?
Well, I'm reading this fictional book at the moment. It's called Edge of Fear by Collection Cuffell. I don't know if you've seen that TV series Black Mirror, but it's similar sort of tones to that science fiction.
Dystopia.
Yeah. Really, really good.
Love it.
Highly recommend it.
Cool. And what about you, Kate?
I'm reading a book that has been recommended by a good friend of mine called A Psalm for the Wild Built by Becky Chambers. It's quite a quirky book about a sort of quirky friendship, but it's extremely funny. It's also about our relationship with nature and the natural world, and it's remarkably optimistic. So it's a good read.
Oh, That sounds good. Yeah, one of my New Year's resolutions is to read more, and I have the same New Year's resolution every year, and I never quite get there. But you never know. This year might be the year, so I will definitely look into those book recommendations. Thank you. So let's go over to the episode questions now. The first one is about obviously neonatal dietetics, as we are talking about it on this episode, and it's an area that isn't extensively covered at university. So first, let's ask, what drew you to this area and what do you love about it? Let's go to you first, Kate.
So I started out life as an adult dietitian, as many people do, and then an opportunity came up within the department to work in paediatrics, and so I took it. And then another opportunity came up in neonates, and I thought, well, it's not an area that I know much about, but I'll give it a go. And to be perfectly honest, I was petrified for about the first 2 years of working on the neonatal unit. I used to call it the special scare baby unit because I was dealing with such small, tiny babies. But it was at a time when neonatal dietetics was growing, and there was a small group of neonatal dietitians who I am incredibly grateful to for their support. I also got great support within my team of dietitians and on the unit, and my confidence grew, and my knowledge grew, and I've never really looked back. And 20 years later, I love my job. So it's a real treat and a real gift to still be working in that area. And what I love probably is the diversity and also how dynamic neonatal nutrition is. There's always something new to read. There's always some new research that is actually very practical and implementable. You can implement it within your neonatal practice. So that's really what I love about it.
Right, amazing to hear. How about you, Mo?
So slightly similar journey. I also started in adult dietetics. I lasted about 14 months and then jumped at the opportunity to work in paediatrics. But I do remember also in adult dietetics, if the paediatric dietitian was ever away, her bleep would sit on the desk like a hot potato. Whenever it would go off, everyone would panic. Everyone was afraid of the smaller people. And then, yeah, so then I went into pediatrics and then I got the opportunity to learn more about neonates. I had an amazing manager at the time who was an absolute expert in neonatal nutrition. And she sort of took me under her wing and I learned so much from her. And yeah, just sort of blossomed from that. And then being able to work in a tertiary unit abroad as well was really, really amazing. In a new hospital, being able to be involved from the ground up, which is very rare these days. That was really, I learned so much through that experience. And what do I love about it? I love how it's just so truly holistic and it covers you're dealing with the whole baby, you're dealing with the whole family. I'm someone who likes to dabble, I guess, in different areas. So if I was to specialize in one particular organ or area like nephrology or diabetes, I think I'd get bored very quickly. But within neonates, we get to do all of it because it's very truly holistic and it's about the whole baby. So yeah, I think that's why I love it.
It sounds like you both had some fantastic journeys into neonatal dietetics. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it. So going back to you then, Kate, you both work in neonatal dietetics, but your roles take different forms. Could you share a little more about your current role?
Yeah, so I'm the team lead, so I do some management responsibilities, but the majority of my work is clinical. So I'm physically on the unit, whichever unit that may be, seeing the babies on ward rounds, making clinical decisions about nutritional care. So it's very hands-on. I'm very much involved with the multidisciplinary team on both sites, so occupational therapists, physios, speech therapists. So it's very hands-on, and then it's very diverse. In the background, I guess there's always guideline development and making sure that we're following current best practice, making sure that those guidelines are being implemented through audits, and also teaching, education, staff on the unit locally, nationally. So it is pretty diverse.
And Mo, what could you please tell us a bit more about your role?
Sure. So working for a network, I work for the network full time, so I no longer work clinically. I'm not patient facing anymore. The network roles are more strategic and I kind of break them down into four different key areas, I guess. So one area is definitely workforce. So we're here to help grow the workforce, and I think we'll talk a little bit later about some of the challenges there. Secondly is around teaching and education. So supporting staff on the ground, whether it's dietitians or also other healthcare professionals working in the neonatal setting with upskilling. Thirdly is clinical support. So being a point of contact for people with any big clinical queries or concerns through sort of an escalation pathway. Ideally, people can also look within their own units or look towards neighboring units, the level, the higher level units for support, but there's also support at network level. And then the last one is clinical governance. So around a bit of what Kate mentioned around guidelines, particularly if we're wanting to standardize care across the network, projects, research. So yeah, very every day looks very different, but it's still very interesting.
Yeah, lots of variety. And let's start with the basics. Mo, how are neonates defined?
So the textbook term for neonates is a baby who is less than 4 weeks old. It's a bit of a misleading term that we use in the neonatal world, actually, because a lot of our babies who are on our units stay for much longer than 4 weeks. So it's not a case of once they turn 4 weeks old, we're looking to discharge them or send them to another ward or unit. It is very much that's how old they are, I guess, when they start and when they're admitted. But they can stay on the unit for much longer if they need to.
Okay. Hey, could you explain the different types of neonatal units in clinical settings?
So there are three main levels of unit within the NHS. The first level is a level one, so it's a special care baby unit. And these are infants who don't typically need very much intensive care. And they're more mature preterm infants. So they're usually from around about 32 weeks gestation, so that's 8 weeks early. They may have problems with temperature instability or maybe need some support with breathing or feeding, but it's fairly short term, and they don't need much in the way of complex care. The next level up is a local neonatal unit or a level two unit where these infants need increased level of care, so high dependency. They're typically young, smaller preterm infants, so they're typically from about 27 weeks gestation to 31. So they're between 9 and 13 weeks preterm. So they might need short-term ventilation, and some of these infants will need parenteral nutrition as well because their guts just aren't simply as developed as they would be if they were born at term. And then a neonatal intensive care unit is a level three unit, and they provide much more complex care and will accept infants from under 28 weeks down to sometimes 22 weeks gestation. So the extremes of prematurity, so that will be 18 weeks preterm. They can do high level ventilation. The babies are much sicker, much more cardiovascularly unstable, and they may need long-term parenteral nutrition. And some of these units then are surgical units as well, like the one that I work on. Some neonatal units will have all three units in one location. So the unit at Denmark Hill that I work on has all levels of care, whereas the other unit that I work on doesn't accept the very small preterm infants. And really, infants typically will transfer between these environments and maybe between hospitals, depending on the level of care that they need. And ideally, one of the key aspects of nutritional care, neonatal care, is to keep those babies as close to their home as possible, as close to their families as possible. But obviously, it does depend on the level of care that they need.
Okay, thank you for breaking that down. Which settings do neonatal dietitians work? So are their roles largely based in the NICU, or are there other settings or wards that neonatal RDs work in? We go to you, Mo.
Sure. So yes, neonatal dietitians, alongside working on the inpatient side on the ward or the unit, there are some babies when they're going home that still need some nutritional support for that, whatever reason. Maybe they still have a nasogastric tube to support their feeding. or more increasingly, some of our units are sending babies home with breast milk fortifier, and that needs to be closely monitored. So neonatal dietitians can also work and support families in the community. So that might be through virtual clinics, or the families might come back into the hospital for clinics with the dietitian and the wider team. And we also have dietitians working in research, neonatal dietitians supporting and doing neonatal research along with other colleagues.
And does every hospital have dedicated neonatal dietitian posts?
So, firstly, not every hospital has a neonatal unit. So, you wouldn't find a neonatal dietitian in a hospital without a unit. In the hospitals that have units, still to this date, not every single hospital in England or even the UK has a neonatal dietitian. And that again goes back to what I was talking about within my role in terms of supporting the workforce. There is still a lot of work to be done to increase provision of neonatal dietitians across the country.
It actually really surprises me that there isn't. So you're obviously doing some amazing work there, campaigning to get that
Trying to.
changed. Brilliant. And hey, does every neonate in the unit require a dietitian, or does the referral process in NICU look the same as on other wards?
Yeah, no, the simple answer is that no, not all infants do need a neonatal dietitian. So the way that I tend to work is that I would go on a ward round, and I tend to screen the infant's feeding and growth and then prioritise those that maybe need more dietetic intervention and involvement. And there are some infants that can really be managed really through guideline-driven care. So as long as you've got good, robust guidelines for starting parenteral nutrition and starting enteral nutrition, some infants can be managed very much as according to a guideline. And really then that leaves the dietitian more time to then spend with infants who need more complex interventional care. So then you can create bespoke nutritional care plans and much more sort of targeted approach. But we tend to be really proactive in neonates. What we don't want our infants to have deteriorated nutritionally and to get referred late in their journey on the neonatal unit to then try and repair some of the problems and the deficit in terms of nutrition that has already been accrued. We want to be proactive. Get in early and try and prevent rather than fix problems. So really we're taking a sort of a very much proactive rather than a reactive approach.
Would you say the majority of patients or babies do need care from a dietitian, or is it a mixed bag?
No, it's very much a mixed bag. I mean, some of the babies that I work with have got surgical problems, and they are really one of my main priorities. Some of the babies have quite complex surgical resections. Maybe some babies have stomas, and need long-term parenteral nutrition, and their care is extremely complex. It needs to be managed as a multidisciplinary team, and they're the infants really, particularly on the unit that I work on, that I spend the most time with the infants and their families. Sometimes the journeys are extremely long, and parents can spend a very long time by the cot of their baby, sometimes, 16, 18 weeks, and that journey is extremely long. So I spend most of my time with those families and maybe the babies who are more can be managed, as I said, as according to a guideline, I'm less involved with.
Okay. You must build such strong relationships with the families involved, being.
Yeah, and it's a very it's an environment for families that is very unfamiliar. Most people haven't been on a neonatal unit, and I think that you do build those relationships and that trust with families over a period of a long period of time.
Yeah, it's similar, I suppose, with other specialties and I think dietitian becomes a really integral part of that care for families and friends because we show people we love them by
Yeah.
feeding and helping them drink. So I think that dietitian is the being able to build that relationship with the families and build rapport is really important.
It's a real privilege, I would say.
It totally.
Yeah.
In terms of the dietetic day to day, hey, can you talk us through what this looks like? Is it a lot of enteral tube feeding?
No, thankfully not. It's much more creative, much more interesting. So early optimal nutrition can influence the outcome of these small preterm babies. We know that the changes that we make early on have significant impact later on in a child's life and even into adulthood. And it's not just about growth, it's often about neurodevelopmental outcomes. And maybe 15, 20 years ago, in the 1990s, survival of 24-week gestation babies was maybe around 10%. Now that's increased to around about 40%. And so there's been a shift from just simply enabling these infants to stay alive to actually making sure that we have good quality of life. And part of that is nutrition and nutritional management. So what I get involved with is early nutrition, so early parenteral nutrition for those infants where the preterm gut is not ready. So prematurity means that some infants can't establish full feeds enterally very quickly. So parenteral nutrition is the cornerstone of a lot of what we do for these babies. I will help to support mothers to express. Breast milk is absolutely key to these infants. It's protective for various gut problems and it helps with the establishment of enteral feeding. So I often will have conversations with mothers at the cot side about supporting expressing breast milk. We also talk about tube feeding, of course. So these babies can't feed orally. So yes, the tube feeding is part of the management, but we also talk about the transition to oral feeding when the baby is more mature. So maybe hopefully that's breastfeeding, but sometimes bottle feeding. And I also advise on optimizing growth. Breast milk's wonderful stuff, but often it needs fortifying to help the baby to grow and develop. And also, if breast milk isn't available, what we can use instead. So all the time we're sort of monitoring progress, tolerance, growth, and it's a very holistic approach involving the whole MDT.
Okay, sounds absolutely fascinating. Are the majority of your patients preterm infants? And if not, what other babies do you see, Kate?
Yeah, so the majority probably are preterm. So it's around about maybe 60% are preterm, but because I work on a surgical unit, a lot of the infants are babies that maybe transfer in with surgical problems, or babies that are born at term who have congenital problems. Maybe they've got atresias in the bowel, or they may have a twisted bowel, so a volvulus. And some of the babies also have something called gastroschisis, which maybe some of your listeners haven't necessarily heard about, but it's where the bowel evolves and develops outside of the abdominal cavity for a baby in utero. So the baby is born essentially with some of the bowel outside of the body. And clearly that's a medical emergency, and these infants do need surgery early on in their journey. But all of these babies have very potentially long courses on a neonatal unit requiring parenteral nutrition, slow establishment of enteral feeds, and they do require a lot of input from dietetically. So yes, they're
Yeah.
not all preterm infants by any means in the area that I work in.
Can you expect that most of your neonatal babies will have longer term, will have a longer term impact on their health because of the fact that they're born earlier on and they've had to, have this another layer of care? Is that something that always happens, or can they go on to live, healthy lives without any complications?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. I think we do know that the more preterm babies are, and the more complex course they have, the more likely they are to have problems later on, particularly in terms of neurodevelopment. So there is definitely a link between prematurity and problems later on. However, there are definitely babies who we see who have very limited impact on their neurodevelopment, particularly those babies who are born closer to term and who haven't had such a complicated course.
Okay, that's interesting. Thank you. So we spoke about this a little bit a second ago, but I imagine that an important part of the clinical role is communicating with the parents and carers. As an experienced neonatal dietitian, what would be your top tips for this communication? Let's go to you both on this one. Mo, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like Kate said earlier, it really is a privilege to work in this area and work with families. I think empathy is incredibly important, and it's something I think most of us dietitians are very good at doing. We learn those communication skills early on, and being empathic with parents and families, because both healthcare professionals and even parents agree that having your baby admitted onto a neonatal unit is a traumatic event, and the whole experience is very traumatic. Nobody wishes for their child to end up on the neonatal unit, so we have to be very empathic and patient. And like you also touched on, we, alongside other health allied health professionals, we are often the on continuous familiar face for these families throughout their journey, whilst the nurses and the doctors rotate. So they may get to know several nurses and several doctors. Usually they are getting very familiar with just one dietitian and building that very strong relationship. So for their continuity of care, it really does make a difference.
Yeah. What do you think, Kate?
Yeah, I completely agree with what Mo said. I mean, often patients are fairly overwhelmed and anxious about having a very preterm baby on the neonatal unit or a baby has complex needs. And I guess listening is one of the key things that we do. You have to be open and honest and realistic, and avoiding false reassurances. It's very easy to say everything will be fine when you absolutely can't say that. You have to manage people's expectations very, very carefully. Yeah, like I say, avoid that false reassurance. And I think a consistent message is also really important. So very much communicating as a multidisciplinary team about how we believe the baby's getting on, and making sure that that message is consistent to families is really important, because where mixed messages are never helpful in this sort of situation. So yeah, listening and being really clear and realistic is really important.
And to your point there, Kate, how does the work of a neonatal dietitian fit into a multidisciplinary team? Which healthcare professionals do you work closely alongside?
So pretty much I don't work in isolation at all. I work and communicate with the medical team, and a lot of the decisions that we make are just collaborative. We either medical, nursing, and with the families, we make these decisions together. I also work very closely with the multidisciplinary team. So there are now an increasing number of speech therapists, OTs, physios on neonatal units, and they all have a very key part to play within the multidisciplinary team. I also work with pharmacists because I do a lot of work in parenteral nutrition. So they're a key player in the team as well. And we've recently at King's just got a psychologist, and other units may have had psychologists for a really long time, but we've just got a psychologist on our team, and they are an incredible resource, both for us as staff on the unit, but particularly for the families who are very much going through a potentially very traumatic period of time in their lives. So I hope that we'll see more psychologists on units going forward.
Definitely. So this next question is for you both. What do you find to be the biggest challenge of your role? Mo, can we go to you first, please?
Oh, that's a good question. I think it's change for me. Facilitating change, I think, is probably maybe the biggest aspect of my job, even though I am a dietitian. And especially working at network level. So the London network involves 27 different neonatal units. It's the biggest network in the country. So that's 27 different ways of working. And even if you go even further and deeper into each unit, all the different members of staff, everyone thinks differently and wants to do things ever so slightly differently sometimes. So thinking about that, the behavior change model and how people move through change, everyone's at slightly different stages. And sometimes it can be really challenging to convince people to come along the same change journey and get buy-in and make changes. I think everyone's heart's in the right place, and we're all here for the same reason, for the babies and the families, but change is still very challenging.
Okay, thank you. Great insight there. What about you, Kate?
Yeah, it's not necessarily dissimilar from Mo in some respects. You know, working on two units can sometimes be challenging, both clinically to manage your time and capacity and caseload, but also geographically. It's not necessarily always that straightforward. The units that I work on are not necessarily particularly close. But what it does create is a great opportunity for collaboration. So I work with two wonderful other neonatal dietitians, and we work across both sites, and we can really help to support each other, to share knowledge, to ensure that there's consistency of practice across both those units and share guidelines. So it's whilst it's sometimes challenging, it's also a very positive way of working, I think. And not least, it's also good for the families. Often the families will move from one unit to another and they'll see the same faces. And I think that continuity of care is positive. So a challenge, but also a positive.
Lovely. Mo, do you think that more neonatal posts are needed?
Absolutely. I think it's not we're not alone in this situation. Other healthcare professional groups are in a similar situation, but absolutely, we do need more dietitians. We need even uplift in some of the units where dietitians are already working, but they may only be providing a small amount of care. Perhaps they're only able to help the unit 2 or 3 days a week. And we do have national standards for staffing on neonatal units. They were published by the they were just updated actually by the British Dietetic Association a couple of years ago. So they clearly outline what the standard should be for every unit based on cot numbers and the acuity of the cots. But we are definitely a bit behind on that, and that is a big reason why my roles created all of these network roles were only came into fruition a couple of years ago, and it was off the back of a big NHS England document, which was called the Neonatal Critical Care Review, and one of the big recommendations was around increasing allied health professional staffing in neonatal units, including dietitians.
That's great to be recognised by that a report like that. That
It
just
is.
shows, from the top down that more support is needed to open up these roles for dietitians.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what would you say are the key skills or competencies required to become a neonatal dietitian, Mo?
So again, very fortunate to have the BDA and our specialist interest group. We have a document which outlines the competencies needed for neonatal dietitians working on units. And it's a really good document. It clearly states what competencies you need to meet based on what sort of unit you're working in, and also your banding, your Agenda for Change banding. So it covers all the competencies in terms of actual sort of clinical knowledge, what sort of work might be involved in terms of clinical governance and leadership and management as well. So re I highly recommend people look for it on the website. It's free access for all.
Brilliant. We'll make sure we link that in the show notes as well so people can access it easily. Is it possible for dietitians to go straight from training into a neonatal post, Mo, or is there more steps involved?
Good question. I'd say at the moment it's not easy. And it's certainly something that myself and the other network dietitians across the country are thinking about, because whilst, like I just mentioned, we don't have enough posts for dietitians, and we're trying to work to get more posts in hospitals with neonatal units. At the same time, we don't have a pool of skilled neonatal dietitians ready to fill them. So if we got all that funding and it appeared tomorrow, we wouldn't be able to fill all those posts. So we really are trying to think about how we can get more dietitians interested, even perhaps at university level, so that we can build the workforce and have people ready and waiting to want to take these jobs on. So yes, at the moment we don't have that sort of pathway, but it's certainly something we want to think about. But at the moment we do. The general pathway is a bit like what me and Kate mentioned with our own backgrounds, is once we qualify, most people start off in adult dietetics, although more and more now we are seeing sort of band five pediatric posts, which is fantastic. And that's usually in big teaching hospitals with big pediatric teams, so that there's the entire team there to support and train upskill that dietitian to become keen in pediatrics. And then once they've got that foundational training, they could potentially go on and, in a self-led way, learn more about neonatal dietetics, whether that's in-house with their team. We also have a master's module, which is part of the BDA pediatric modules. And there's loads more online resources now through e-learning for healthcare and other facilities for people to get interested and find out more information about neonatal nutrition.
Yes, you've listed some brilliant resources there. Kate, do you know any other training or resources that you'd recommend to those listening who are interested to find out more or looking to potentially pursue this area of dietetics?
Yeah, the as Mo said, the e-learning for health platform is a wonderful resource for people working within the NHS, and there are modules there on neonatal care and also specifically neonatal nutrition. NDIG, which is the Neonatal Dietitians Interest Group, as part of the BDA, is a really good, supportive, informal, collaborative group, providing support and also running study days. The BDA Module 5 course that Mo talked about, that's part of the Paediatric Dietetic course, is very valuable. And there are other societies really beyond that, so extremely useful and supportive. There's something called N3, which is the Neonatal Nutrition Network, which are a group of healthcare professionals collaborating to improve the care for infants on neonatal units, and they have a really strong education and research focus. And then there's ESPGHAN, which some of your listeners may have heard of, so the European Society of Paediatric Gastroenterology, Hepatology and Nutrition, do a mouthful. They have an e-learning course on enteral nutrition for preterm infants, which is on the Future Learn platform, which is an incredible resource. It's some of it is free, and some of it is to pay for, but there's a huge amount of resources out there, and yeah, I'd encourage anyone to look these resources up and get involved. It's a really exciting time to be part of neonates.
Brilliant. I hope our listeners are taking notes because there were some fantastic resources. Mo, could you tell us about communities of practice and what the aim of them is? Would you recommend neonatal dietitians join them?
Yes, absolutely. So this was actually the brainchild of the chair of the ENDIG group that Kate mentioned, which is a specialist group within the BDA. And it was actually adapted from work that nurses already do. So the communities of practice are small groups of dietitians, sort of 8 to 10 dietitians scattered around the UK who meet on a monthly basis for peer support. And that peer support can vary from sharing complex cases to reviewing literature on a particular topic, to just being able to share some of the challenges of working within this area that can sometimes crop up. And so people can, sometimes it just feels better when you can share some of the challenges and other people acknowledge that they've been through it too. And sometimes people share really good ideas in how they've been able to overcome some of those challenges or find opportunities within them. So if you are listening and you're a neonatal dietitian and you haven't signed up, I highly recommend that you do. It's an absolute lifeline because it can sometimes feel a bit isolating working in this area, especially in some hospitals where maybe there is only one neonatal dietitian and you don't have another neonatal dietitian close at hand to bounce ideas off of or share cases with. So definitely recommend it.
Thank you, Mo. That's super helpful. In terms of advancements and research in the area of neonates, what's currently exciting you? Let's ask you both on this one. Kate, can we go to you first?
So yeah, I think there's a lot going on in neonates, and you only need to scan the literature to see that there's a paper produced at least every month, if not several a month, about neonatal nutrition. So it's a really exciting time. I think probably the components of breast milk are probably one of the most interesting areas of neonatal practice. We know that human milk is protective for something called necrotizing enterocolitis, which we haven't spoken about today, but it's a potentially devastating condition that affects very preterm infants and very low birth weight infants which can lead to gut surgery, gut resection, and often, and some babies sadly do die from it. And the work that's continually going on is trying to work out why it happens and how we can prevent it. We know that breast milk is protective for this condition, but we don't really quite understand why. And it's probably that there are various components of breast milk that are interacting in the microbiome, potentially in the gut. So there's lots of interest in product, components such as lactoferrin or oligosaccharides, the human milk oligosaccharides, and they probably have an impact on brain development, on the microbiome, on immune development. So there's a huge amount of research going on in this area, and I think there's lots that we don't understand about breast milk. It's a very solution, bodily fluid. It's magical, and I think there's a lot more to learn about in terms of breast milk composition.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. What about you, Mo? What are you excited about in the world of research?
Yeah, no, I agree with Kate. So some of those components that she mentioned of breast milk, people are calling them bionutrients. So very different to your macro and micronutrients in breast milk, but we're calling them bionutrients because they are acting in a very different way, not necessarily contributing to nutritional value. And this is why I always say to people that breast milk isn't just food. It is such an amazing product that the human body makes that, like Kate said, we still don't fully understand. So yes, there've been lots and lots of trials on elements like lactoferrin, human insulin. There's nothing to do with insulin working in the bloodstream and controlling blood sugars, but actually how it can work in the gut locally, and other immunoglobulins, probiotics, prebiotics, the HMOs that Kate mentioned. It's such a big, fascinating area, and even the formula market can't really keep up. They're always trying to replicate breast milk, but I don't think they'll ever get there because it's just every few minutes they seem to discover another new component in breast milk. It's really just a fascinating product that is made for free. Really exciting. So it's interesting to see which direction it's going to go in.
I find it so fascinating that the body over millions of years, our few generations has evolved to deliver this amazing source of nutrition for babies. It's just amazing that it's innate and just delivered through nature. I think it's wonderful, isn't it? But yeah, that sounds really exciting. So we've got our last question, sadly, to close off the episode. It's been so interesting speaking to you both. But in our research for this episode, we read about an NICU in the States, which is using artificial intelligence to pull relevant data on patients, such as growth measurements and feeding information. Obviously, the topic of AI is as topical. It's spoken about a lot at the moment, and there's lots of conversation around how it can be used in healthcare. But what are your thoughts on using AI to aid neonatal care? Kate, let's go to you first.
Yeah, it's not something that I know a lot about, I have to be completely honest. It's so brand new and everybody's talking about it. It's very exciting. And from what I understand about how the neonatal unit is using it in the US, I think they're essentially using it to collate data on infants' nutritional health over prolonged periods of time so that they can basically plot nutrient intakes versus growth, and they can see it in real time. And I think one of the problems with neonatal nutrition is that it's not very visible. So we have lots of monitors for blood pressure, for heart rate. It's all very visible ab above the cot of the infant, and we can tell when the baby's in trouble. Sometimes nutrition is a little bit forgotten. It's a little bit less visible. We have growth charts, but it's not quite as immediately available for people to recognize and notice. And I hope that AI might be able to really make it more visible to us and also help us to tailor nutrition for an individual infant on an individual basis to optimize it for the short and the longer term. And I think in the big picture, maybe we'll be able to get data on a unit level, on a across unit level, looking at trends, looking at outcomes, so that actually in a much more easily accessible way, so that we don't have to go through prolonged sort of difficult audits, collating data over several weeks, months. It'll be just be much easier to access that data, collate it, and to be able to draw conclusions to improve outcomes for these babies.
Yeah, the ability to process a mass amount of data is definitely really exciting in relation to AI. So yeah, I agree with you. What about you, Mo? What's your take?
Yeah, no, I agree. I know certainly sometimes when I speak to people about AI, their big fear is that it's, going to replace human jobs. But I think, like you mentioned, with the NICU in the States, what I'm really excited about is hopefully having more accurate data in terms of intake. I'm sure it just doesn't happen on neonatal units, but maybe also in pediatric and adult ITU settings where we have what we prescribe versus what actually goes into the patient. And it would be amazing if we could get a bit more accuracy in what babies are actually receiving versus what we prescribe. And you also touched on growth. Growth is still a very big area for us in terms of growth monitoring because we still don't know what the optimum growth is for our preterm infants. We use growth charts, but they are growth references as opposed to a standard. So I think there's still a lot of work to be done to try and find out what optimum growth is for these babies. And I think AI could help massively with that.
Great. So two both, interesting perspectives coming at it from different angles there, but it's interesting to see how AI could you support both of your roles in neonatal dietetics. So thank you both for coming onto the podcast today. It was so interesting to spend time learning more about neonatal dietetics.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks very much. Thanks, Corinne.
A huge thank you to Nualtra for making this podcast possible. If you enjoyed listening to today's episode, why not share it with a friend or colleague who you think would find it interesting? Our next episode of the Dietitian Cafe will be out soon, but in the meantime, you can check out our previous episodes or head over to our RD2B Dietitian Cafe podcast, where once a month our student dietitian host discusses the world of dietetics with a range of guests, all aimed at aspiring dietitians. Thank you for joining us at the Dietitian Cafe. See you next time.